Not real sure if she's talking about me or what, but thank God it worked out in the long run. Amen. God's good, isn't He? I said God's good, isn't He? God's great all the time. Is anybody making a difference this week? Amen. Well, you are. You're definitely making a difference. You're making a difference by your testimonies, by your prayers, and I believe with all of my heart that the prayers of the church is what's keeping this thing going right now. So we had asked the congregation to strive to make a difference in somebody's life this week, and it's amazing. I'll just share just a little bit. You know, you can begin to talk about the Lord in some of the most unusual places if the Lord is on your mind. And this morning I had an opportunity to talk about the Lord over gravy and biscuits. Amen. I hadn't had gravy and biscuits in a long time, and my wife couldn't join me for breakfast this morning, so I went down and had some gravy and biscuits, and I just got caught up with a fellow. I thought I could talk a lot, but man, he kept us going, but we had a wonderful, wonderful time talking about the Lord. And you know, it's amazing. It's amazing when you talk about the Lord to somebody and you think it's just you and that person having a conversation, then you look around and people are doing this. Kind of like if E.F. Hutton was to speak, everybody's listening, you know, and that was amazing too. So you never know. You never know when who might be listening or who might need to hear a word of encouragement. And you know what? It doesn't take too much effort just to talk about the Lord and to give Him praise and honor, amen, each and every day of our life. So continue, amen, to look to make a difference in people's lives. Just a kind word sometimes to let people know that not only do you love them, but Jesus Christ loves them as well. Well, it's good to be on Wednesday night service. Amen. Some folks call it hump day. I like to call it prayer meeting time because I always look forward to coming to the church and gathering with the saints of God. Amen. To get us over that hump, so you speak, till we get to the weekend services. And my God was good to us this past weekend. Looking forward this week to what God has in store. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go and continue in the book of Ephesians tonight. We're going to go to the fourth chapter tonight. And we're going to begin in verse number 17, and I want to read down through verse number 32 first, and then we're going to back up, and we're going to kind of look at them just a little bit tonight, being Bible study. We encourage you, if you have a thought, a comment, question, to speak up. This is kind of a casual Wednesday, and just a time to, you know, saints of God together here tonight, and how many knows that we can't read the Bible too much? You can't learn too much. Amen. There's always something new. And even though it's not old, even though it's not new, it's been around a long time, it's new and exciting to us as we read it because it's timely. It's a living word, and it applies to our life on a daily basis. I want to try to keep you standing long, but if you will, follow with me in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Amen. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here tonight. God, and I pray that we will be in one mind and one accord, Lord, submissive and obedient and receptive to your word. Father, I pray that it would dwell deep within our heart, God, that we won't be hearers only, but also doers of your word. Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, just speak to us that you would have us to hear. Father, I pray that if there's any need in this house tonight, God, we know that you're able to meet that need. And Father, I pray for those who were not able to be here, those who may be sick, those who are afflicted. Father, I pray for your healing power to minister to them. Now just be with us right now, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, and let the anointing fall down upon each and every one of us. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, if we had a focus, it would be Christian instruction. How many knows that we need instruction? I know my wife was, and Sister Lori and some of the others were in a particular field of business where continuing education was necessary. It was needful. You had to continue to do that. Even in when I worked in the public, we had a continuing ed, and probably almost any big company still has those things. A lot of that, it was redundant, but it was necessary. He meant to keep it in front of you so that you understand and know what the mission statement is, what the focus is, and the job and the requirements, and also just to kind of keep you sharp, kind of iron sharpens iron, and so that we can stay on our toes and be the very best employee that we possibly could. Well, I think we also need to apply that to our spiritual walk with God. I mean, you know, the word is there for us to take advantage of and to dig into it. And honestly, I tell folks, I said, if the only time that you open the word of God is when you're at church, you're missing out on a wonderful opportunity, amen, for God to just speak to you. So here we find, first of all, I want us to back up just a little bit. And I want us to go over to Acts, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 7. We find the Apostle Paul here, and outside of Jesus, the Apostle Paul was probably one of the most astute teachers of the Word that there was. He was responsible for writing so many of the epistles, and so responsible for revival and converting folks to Christianity. And he had a wonderful, wonderful way about him. And how many knows he didn't start off that way? Amen. He was going in the opposite direction of Christianity. In fact, he was trying to have folks crucified and killed and murdered for standing up for Christianity. And he himself was struck down by the power of the Lord and a great transformation in his life. So how many knows it can happen? Amen. God can change anybody's life. But here he begins to teach to the church at Ephesus. And we're not talking about a group of non-believers here. Now he talked about in chapter number 3, he talked about some of the things and beginning in chapter number 4, too, that the way that other Gentiles walk. But he's saying you're not like that. You know, there's been a transformation. There's been a change in your life. And how many can attest to that fact? We talk about that constantly, that there is a very real change that takes place in our life. No wonder they refer to it as a born-again experience, because things are seemingly becoming new. Old things pass away, and he addresses those things. But he's talking to a group of people, and it's not just like he's just come up on these people and automatically they've been converted and he's preaching to them, because he's already preached a message of conversion to them, and they've already accepted. Many of them have been converted. Many Greeks have been converted. Gentiles have been converted to Christianity, and they have been somewhat settled in the conversion process. So now it's a time of maturing in Christ. It's a time of applying these principles that Christ taught to their life. And how many know we still need to apply those Christian principles to our life, regardless of how long that we've been saved, regardless of how many years that we've been Spirit-filled? We still need a refresher course constantly to remind us how we are supposed to conduct ourselves in this world that we live. So we're going to look at verse number 1 through 7 in the book of Acts to find out the congregation or the group of people that he is actually speaking to. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus," okay? "And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?' And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. And he goes on to say, Who is that? That is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. How unique is that? That the Apostle Paul, upon his journey to Ephesus, found 12 men that became disciples of him, disciples of his teachings, which were about Christ. Now, look at verse number 8 and verse number 9. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now that's very important in verse number 10, because it lets me know that this was not a small congregation that the Apostle Paul was speaking to, or that he was addressing when he began to talk about this Christian instruction, because the Bible tells us here that after these 12 had been converted and many other Greeks were converted as well, that the Apostle Paul actually spent 2 months in the synagogue teaching about Christianity. And not only that, he spent a space of 2 years, the Bible says, amen, preaching and many, in fact, the Bible says here, so that, let's see, how many? It said all. It said, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So this is giving us some kind of indication of how big the congregation was that the Apostle Paul was ministering to. So what he was doing, he was continuing the education. He was continuing the education of the Christian walk with the Lord. And he began to address these certain things. And I've kind of listed them tonight, so we kind of want to go down them. And pardon me if this seems a little elementary. Pardon me if it seems a little redundant. But I don't think it can be too redundant in the Word of God. I think the more that we're familiar with it, the more that we understand the Scriptures, the more we put them together and find out that in Acts, it was talking about there he was at Ephesus, and it gives us an idea of the time frame that the Apostle Paul was speaking to this congregation. So let's begin in let's begin with the first instruction that the Apostle Paul gives to them. And they're listed here in the Word of the Lord, and we'll kind of take them one at a time. And we're not even going to get to all of them, because he continues after verse number 32 about another godly way. So what we won't have time to do today or tonight, you can continue that at home if you want to, and just continue to follow in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians and see exactly what the Apostle Paul was instructing the church at Ephesus to do. First of all, he said to hear and to be taught by Christ, okay? To hear and be taught by Christ. And this is what Paul's doing. He's continuing the teachings of Christ. How many knows that we need to be very, very particular what we hear and who we turn to for teaching? Amen? It needs to be Bible-based. It needs to be according to what the Word of the Lord says. I'm not here to preach or teach anything contrary to what the Apostle Paul preached, and he was not there to teach or preach anything contrary to what Jesus Christ himself taught. And you can follow that up in the Scripture. So he's telling them. And why is he telling them that? Because there was a lot of mythology and a lot of different books. In fact, the Bible history tells us that there were people that were turning to things other than the Word, other than the law, other than things, amen, that had been in the Jewish worship for years and years and years and about Christianity. It was turning to all of these other things. In some places, he talks about fables and things like that. And people began to turn to sorcery and different things like that. And what he was saying, no, you got to stay true to the Word of God. And how many knows that there's things out there in the world today that disguise themselves as godly teaching, that which in fact is not godly teaching? And the best way to measure that up is with the Word of God. This is the truth. This is the genuine. Amen. And a lot of people, and we talk about the counterfeit money. And I think it's as good a time to, as any to mention that again. Because a lot of people have asked me, well, how do you know what's real? How do you know what's real? And I always use this same analogy because I had an aunt who worked in the banking business for years and years and years. She was a teller there, and you know, they was always teaching them to look over money and stuff like that, and I was intrigued, and I asked them, because especially when you hear about some counterfeit money being passed, and my dad owned a grocery store, so I was kind of interested. What do you look for? What little signs do you need to look? And I've heard all kind of things, you know, rub the paper, rub the currency on a paper, look at certain things like that. And so I was waiting for her to tell me some really, really juicy tidbit that I would be able to look at a $20 bill and know that it was the real genuine $20 bill and not a counterfeit. So what she told me, she said, well, when they teach us what they do, they give us a real $20 bill. And they tell us to be as familiar with that $20 bill as we possibly can. Look it over, feel it, do whatever you want to. Look for any little thing. And then if you find something in your hand that doesn't look like that, then chances are it might be counterfeit, and then you can go to somebody else. So I thought that was really, really good. So as these things come around us, as these things are enticing us, let's stay true to the genuine. And if it doesn't measure up to the Word of God, just leave it alone, amen? Because the Word of God is what we need. Not all that. There's some good things out there. There's some good things to follow up on, and I believe that with all of my heart. But make sure, and that's what the Apostle Paul has said, make sure that you hear and are taught by Christ. And that's discussed, or he addresses that in verse number 20 and verse number 21. Then he goes on to say that know that truth is in, what does it say in verse 21? Where is the truth lie? It's in Jesus. That's what he says. Know that the truth is in Jesus. Though an angel come teaching or preaching anything else, let him be a lie. So the truth is in Jesus. And when you know the truth, what is the old saying? When you know and you know that you know, then confidence replaces fear. Amen. When you know that you know, and you can be certain about the truth, that the truth lies in the word of the Lord. So these are things that he's telling. And understand, too, you know, there's times and there's congregations that really can't grip this, if you know what I mean. There's converts, and they need to be taught, but so many times, it needs to be somebody who's a little deeper in the Word, somebody who's a little mature as a Christian. And I think Wednesday night is a perfect time to address this, because we can all identify with this, and we know that there's things, and there's, I don't necessarily want to call them obligations, but I guess we can call them commandments, or it's more than suggestions, amen, it's things that are in the Word of God that we are to adhere to, and it's things that we need to apply to our life. So know that the truth is in Jesus, and that's found in verse number 21. And we're going to get into one thing that's very interesting, and we hear it often. We hear it so many times. In fact, if you've ever heard me preach, you probably hear me mention it many, many, many times. That's put off the old man. Put off the old man. Now, that's not talking to you wives, okay? I understand. That's not telling you to get rid of your old man. But what is that talking about? What is that addressing when we say get rid of the old man or put off the old man? The sinful nature of man. And understand, Paul basically addresses here. He said, y'all wasn't always perfect. Y'all wasn't always complete. Y'all wasn't always Christians. You know, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. You were unbelievers. And by unbelievers, in fact, you were the old man. You were the flesh. You were giving in to the flesh. But once you become believers, then you put off the old man. In other words, that means that you have to say no to the fleshly desires at times. There's times you have to tell your flesh no. There's times you have to dictate to your flesh that you need to be in a spiritual frame of mind. I can't explain this enough. There's times I have to tell my body, you need to kneel down and pray. Brother Tony addressed that really, really good one night. And you know, I'm a firm believer in God can hear a prayer anywhere. Thank God he can hear a prayer when I'm driving down I-20 and I can't close my eyes and I can't bow my head, but I can call on the Lord. Amen. And I've done it many, many times on I-20. And not only do I pray for myself, but I pray for those others as well. But Brother Tony addressed it really, really good. He was at work, and somebody asked him to say a very special prayer for a family member. And, you know, we're all, we're all human. Sometimes we forget, and then when he went to bed, he was saying his prayer, and he remembered that request that that fellow worker had given him. He said, "I want you to pray for this family member." So Brother Tony, and you know, in the confines of his bed there, he folded his hands, he began to pray, and he said, the Holy Ghost just sort of checked him and said, "No, you need to get down beside your bed and get serious." Now, do I believe that God only hears prayers when you kneel down beside? No. But sometimes we have to dictate to our flesh to get our spiritual mind where it needs to be. And that particular time, God spoke to him and said, "You know, I want you to get serious about this." So he did. He got out of his bed and he began to pray. And you know, said not only did he pray for that person that requested prayer, but he said he really, really got in earnest for prayer. So there's times that we, you know, our flesh doesn't want to. There's times that the flesh says, "I'm too tired. I can't fast. I get a headache. I can't read Scripture because it makes me sleepy." And all of these things, and we have to override the flesh. So that's what it's called, putting off the old man. Putting off the old man and letting that new man, amen, rule. And let the Spirit, amen, have subjection over the flesh. Now, those are fancy words, but it takes some sacrifice to do that. Amen? So that's what it's talking about, putting off the old man, and that's found in verse number 22. Then the verse number the fourth thing that he addresses here in Christian instruction, it says, be renewed in the mind. Be renewed in the mind. That's found in verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Does somebody want to comment on that? How do we renew our mind? Sure, in the Word, prayer, fasting. Sometimes rechanneling our thought process. Can we do that? You ever told yourself, "I'm not going to think about that"? You ever get frustrated when you keep thinking about it, But you know, we have the ability to change that thought process. And you know, again, we're all human. And the Apostle Paul knew that even though they were believers, even though they were Christians, even though they've been baptized, they're still human. And they need these teachings. They need these instructions to apply to their life. And I believe that we can. Basically, what it means to be renewed in your mind is having a different attitude. Amen. How many has ever heard the term attitude adjustment? How many has ever had one? Come on, you married folks, raise your hand. You know, an attitude adjustment. Sometimes it's not the most pleasant thing, but it's needful. And thank God that the Holy Ghost, that God loves us enough to give us an attitude adjustment. There's times when things are not going well. There's times when every light you hit is red. There's times when people cut you off and just turn right in front of you. Hello? Amen? And so many times it affects our thought process. And we begin to think about and get stressed out and all that. And we need to be renewed in our spirit, in the spirit of our mind. We need to readjust our attitude and understand that we're too blessed to be stressed. Amen? We got too many good things going. So we have to remind ourselves how good God is. And like Sister Penny was talking about, it's my desire. You know, we have to continually resort to that. It's my desire. You know, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to serve Him. No, it's not always easy. No, it's not always convenient. But, you know, it's the right thing to do. So continually renewing your mind and adjusting your attitude. And he addresses that in verse number 23. Now, here's one thing. And you know, between that, and it's, you know, I thought about that. I wonder why he didn't put these back to back. And then I thought about it. He did it in the right order. First of all, he said, put off the old man. Then he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then he said, put on the new man. You got to be prepared to put on the right thing after you put off the wrong thing. And the best way to do that is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And to have the right type of attitude and the right type of submissiveness and obedience unto the Lord. Because when you put on the new man, amen, and what you're talking about, you're talking the Spirit of God. Now, it's not a coat you can take on and off. I don't believe that you take it off when you leave church and all that. No, you put on a whole new attitude. You put on a different aura about you. And it's no longer really about yourself. It's about serving God. And what would David said? My whole mind, my soul, my body, everything about me. You know, I sing a new song unto the Lord. And that's what we talk about when we put on the new man. And he addresses that in verse number 24. And again, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people. You understand, this is not a week-long revival. This was like 2 months of teaching in the synagogue, 2 years of continuing to preach and convert folks around in that particular area. So then he says to put on the new man. Anyone else want to share on that before we go forward? Then he gets into some very specifics. I mean, God can be specific. I mean, there's general areas, but God can be specific in certain things. Now, specific doesn't leave room, amen, for debate. Okay? You know, people talk about gray areas and things like that. There's some specifics in the Word of God that we have to adhere to. Amen. So be very, very careful of what some person or some administrator or something that tells you that is contrary to the Word of God, because God is very specific in certain things. And this he says, put away lying and speak truth. Now, I thought it was very unique that he told them to put away lying. In other words, not asking them, have they ever lied? He just said, just put it away. You know, we've all come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad that God is plenteous in redemption. I, for one, am so thankful that he washes away those sin stains of our life. I do not want to be accountable for the things that's in my life. That's the reason that I was convicted, and it pricked my heart that I needed to come to an altar of repentance. But as he came into my life, I don't revert back to the style of life, back to the way that I once was, just because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I strive to let Jesus Christ and the light of Jesus Christ shine in my life so that, first of all, so that I can be pleasing to him and so that others can see Jesus in me. And I just want to remind you, when you're witnessing, when you're testifying, it's not that you won't see people to see you and your goodness and your righteousness. You're wanting people to see the goodness of God in your life. That's what draws people to the Lord. So he said, put away lying and speak truth. That sounds simple, doesn't it? But many, many times it's very difficult because of that flesh rises up. So he was again telling them, you know, these are, again, these are things that probably, Christianity 101 is it. But again, even in the simplistic form, we still need to be reminded of these things. And that was the Apostle Paul was sharing with them. So speak truth. That's addressed in verse number 25. Verse 7, we don't even need to discuss that, do we? Number 7, it's in verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not. We have no have problem with that in First Pentecostal Church whatsoever, do we? There's no. God understands the nature of man. He formed and fashioned us. That's the reason Jesus had to come and die on the cross of Calvary, because of our inability. And he knows how the flesh is. And he even said, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let that anger get the best of you. Control that. I mean, and, you know, when it rises up, understand, you know, there's a time to turn that volume down, turn that tone down, and don't sin. Don't let that anger become sinful. Don't let it grow. Don't let it sit there and just kind of swelter and swelter until it becomes, God forbid, but it becomes hate. We never, ever want that. So he says, be angry without sinning. So that's in verse number 26. And then the next thing, now if I'm going too fast or if I'm going quick, if y'all have a, please, this is Wednesday night, if you have a comment, question, please speak up. Okay. Then the next one, it says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him place. Don't give him a toehold. Amen. You know, so many times we kind of open the door or leave it open a little bit. I'm talking about the spiritual door. We give him space. And what is the answer? If you give him space, he takes space. He's never satisfied with just a little bit. He wants to come in and he wants to control. He wants to dictate. He wants to ruin our life. And not only ruin our life, but ruin our life as well. So don't give place to the devil. Now, I've often said, if we recognize Satan or the devil, like the little figurine on the red devil I can, it would be very, very easy to rebuke him, wouldn't it? Man, if something would come at me all red suit and a pitchfork, I'm going to absolutely rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But how many knows he doesn't always appear like that? Sometimes he's very subtle. Sometimes he's very manipulative. And sometimes he's very, very suggestive. And if you're not careful, he'll begin to make sense a little bit. You begin to listen to him. He'll jump up on your shoulder and he'll begin to say things or kind of try to lead you astray. I mean, read the story of where Jesus, after Jesus was baptized, what he did to the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness. Now, they didn't lead him into the wilderness for punishment. He didn't lead them in the wilderness because he disobeyed God. But I think it was a learning process. I think the Spirit of God, robed in flesh, had to understand how that Satan works. And what did he, you know, he tempted him with? He tempted him with things that Jesus could associate with. So if Satan even tempted Jesus, don't think that we're off limits. He comes against us. But how many knows, greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. Amen. We can overcome him. In fact, we are more than overconquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. So give no place to the devil. Don't even give him just a little bit of inch. Understand? And you got to understand and learn how to recognize him. Know your enemy. Man, that's one of the things they teach in military, isn't it? I mean, to know the enemy and how they work and what their plan of attack is. And if you know them, then you're prepared for him when he comes. So give no place to the devil. That's in verse number 27. Verse number 28, he said, let him that stole steal no more. Cut it off. Don't do it anymore. So he's addressing those things. Understood, those are things that we should know. Those are things that we should do just because we're a good moral person. But how many knows just being a good moral person doesn't cut it with God? Amen. We have to be born again. We have to be filled with his Spirit. So those that have stolen, quit stealing. But then he goes ahead and addresses something else. He says, go ahead and let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. So it's God's pleasure. It's God's goodwill that we work for a living, that we provide for ourselves, provide for our family, in order also, amen, so that we can give to the poor and needy. Those are both addressed in verse number 28. Work for a living, provide for your family, so that you'll be able to give to the poor and to the needy. Those are just good teachings. Those are just good things. And thank God for Christian folks. Thank God for Christian folks. They, you know, they are the givingest folks. Our little church here is such a giving church. We're not to pat ourselves on the back, but so many people have reached out and we've been able to help folks. And thank God for that. Amen. We need to be able to reach out and to help folks, and because that's just good ministry. Amen. That's just being a good neighbor, and the Lord wants us to do those things. So the Apostle Paul was addressing that as well. And then the next thing, if we're keeping a number, this I've got it listed as number 12, is use the tongue right. That's addressed in verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Sister Susan, what did Thumper say? That's good teaching, isn't it? Amen. Help me to be that way. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all. But be encouraging and use the tongue in the right way for good communication, not to run folks down, not to continue gossip or backbiting or anything like that. How many knows that can stir up so much strife and controversy, and that's not the way that Christians are supposed to conduct themselves. So use the tongue right and good communication. That goes back to what we was talking about, making a difference in somebody's life. Don't take much to smile and say, Jesus loves you, or have a wonderful day, or be blessed today. You know, a lot of restaurant people are using that term now. You know, we hear that quite often, you know, have a blessed day. In fact, I ran by the bank this morning and went through the drive-thru, and the little lady said, have a blessed day. And I said, well, thank you. You have a blessed day as well. So you can find opportunity to share the word or to just be a good Christian ambassador, if you would, amen, to make a difference in folks' lives. So use the tongue right. Good communication. That's addressed in verse number 29. And then number 13 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's in verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Think about that word grieve. The Apostle Paul applies that to the Spirit of God that is within us. Anybody got a comment on that? How could we grieve the Holy Spirit? In a number of ways. I can think of a couple. By disobedience. By returning to do the things that were forbidden. By backtracking, going back. You know, constantly desiring to be back in the world. And not taking full advantage of the Spirit of the Lord that He has given us. It's a comforter, yes. But it's also a guide for us to help us through the different walks of life and be dependent on that Holy Spirit. And don't grieve that Holy Spirit, and don't cause that Holy Spirit, amen, to dry up within us. Amen. Live in the fullness of the Lord that He has blessed us with. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't be disobedient. Don't go back or desire to do the things that you were forbidden or that the Bible tells us that we're forbidden to do. Those things are passed away. Again, the old man is gone, and in its place is a new man. So he's addressing that in verse number 30. And then in verse number 31, is a whole bunch that he just kind of dumps in there. He says, let most all your bitterness, I'm glad you're following along, yeah. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of those things. Put away bitterness, put away wrath, put away anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Man, again, we need to be gentle. We need to be loving. We need to be tenderhearted, and he addresses that as well. And we need to be concerned one for another. You know, especially of the house of God, but also of others. I mean, of others. You know, let Jesus be the example in our life. And he had compassion on folks. I mean, he loved folks. And not all those folks were followers, but he had compassion on them. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He fed those that were hungry. And again, he just was the very epitome of kindness. And if we call ourselves Christ-like or Christians, then we need to adopt those same principles in our life and those same qualities to put away the bitterness, put away the wrath, the anger. If you haven't forgiven somebody, try it. Forgive them. Forgive them. But Brother Eddie, you don't know what that is. It doesn't matter. You know, Christ forgave them. He gave us the example when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine that if somebody had pierced your side and somebody had planted a crown of thorns upon your head and beat you with all those stripes? And would we have the humility, would we have enough love and compassion to say, Father, forgive them? Wow. It'd take the new man to do that, wouldn't it? The old man wouldn't want to do it. So put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. And then finally, in verse number 32, and this is where we're going to bring it to an end tonight. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And he goes on to say, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many is thankful for the forgiveness of God? Amen. How many of us say, I have that same forgiveness in my heart that God had for me because he forgave me. I believe that with all of my heart. I have faith to believe what the Bible says. When I ask the Lord to forgive me, he forgave me. Amen. And I don't have to bring it up. And if I bring it up, he doesn't know what I'm talking about because he's already forgotten that. So thank God that he forgave me. And we need to be forgiving of one another as Christ has forgiven us. Again, this may seem elementary, but I just have been in the book of Ephesians, and I just, I can read it over and over and over, but it is so needful for me to just remind me of who we are. Just remind me that we are, amen, children of God. And how many is glad to be a child of God? Glory to God. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Love each and every one of you. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. If you'd stand tonight, we'll give you an opportunity. If anyone's here that needs prayer tonight, certainly we never, ever want to leave without giving you an opportunity to receive prayer. I know we've had several prayer requests, and there are a lot of folks that are having some sickness and affliction, and we certainly want to remember them. But if you're here tonight and you need prayer, we'll be sure with praying with you. Yes, ma'am. Gentry still sick, the little boy. He was still. Okay, let's remember them. All right. Brother Jim, if you would come tonight, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Sister Sharon. On their trip. Oh, okay. They're going to Missouri, flying to Missouri, so. They wanted to be anointed for their trip. So you can go ahead and dismiss with prayer. When they come up, we'll
all right, yes. As Brother Eddie said, we'll have special prayer when they get up here. But we know that it's so easy to ask somebody to say, pray for me, and we go, okay. But it's truthfully, it's an honor. And we should sincerely, as he said, Brother Tony said, the Lord checked him, and he got down and prayed. And as we get ready to pray now, let's be earnestly in prayer for Sister Autumn and all the other prayer requests going forth. And you know, there's so many other situations that aren't spoken, but there's so many that God knows about. Let's all just pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. We worship you, dear Lord. We lift you up and we honor you. Lord, we thank you again for allowing us the opportunity to come directly to you. Dear Lord, may we just come to you, dear Lord, and let you just cleanse our lives, dear Lord. May you renew us a new life, dear Lord. May we turn away from our evil ways, Lord, as we ask for forgiveness, dear Lord, and what we might have done, even those things that we're not even aware, dear Lord, as we come to you for as a church, as this group standing here together, dear Lord, may we be in unity in our brothers and sisters in Christ and lift you up and honor you. Lord, we place these situations in your hand. Lord, we know that you're with us, whether it be surgery, whether it be just pain, sickness, loss, or sorrow. But, Lord, we ask you to strengthen and guide us. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And then when Brother Tony and them get up, we'll pray with him. That's all right.
They have the young people downstairs, so they'll...